Holy Spirit is here. Just keep on seeing different things as I'm standing over here in different visions. And when I was standing over there, Karen, I was seeing you, and it's like I saw this champagne bottle. And it's like it was being shaken up. And then I just saw a smile as the shaking up was going. And then I saw a hand come and just pull the cork off the top. And it wasn't champagne that shot out. It was sparks of fire. And I saw that hand. You just plugged that bottle back up. And I saw that hand just shaking that bottle again, and I saw the smile getting larger and larger and larger. And he just popped that cork, and more sparks of fire just came out. And what I was hearing the Lord saying is that he is going to release you in new ways that you haven't experienced before. In his timing, in his season, he's going to uncork you time and time and time again. And I hear his voice through you in a way that I have not heard you speak before. In a prophetic word of prophecy with power and force that's behind it. It's not a light anointing, but it's a heavy anointing. And I just hear the Lord saying, his timing's upon you. He will do what he said he would do. He's going to do exactly what he said he would do for you, because his timing is upon you.
When Robert asked me if I had any words for anybody, I said, yes, I do, for Karen. And he said, yeah, me too. So what I was seeing was a rowboat. I saw a little rowboat, and it was like in this rowboat, you were paddling and oaring as fast as you could go. And then you just dropped the oars. And the Lord said, I've been waiting for you to drop the oars, because I'm firing you up. I'm starting the motor and the engines. And I heard him. He just went over, and he started up that kicker. We call it kicker from the village. Motor. He started up that kicker, and he put his hand over your hand. And he began to help you to navigate that motor through the channels, through the river. And he said, I'm going to teach you how to navigate through the Spirit. You're going to be a Spirit navigator. And you're not going to do it alone. There was two in the boat. And he said, I'm with you in the boat. And I'm going to show you where the shallow parts are, where you won't go up on the sandbar. Where you won't go on the sandbar and you won't go on the shelf any longer. But the Lord says he will show you where those sandbars are in the Spirit. That discerning of spirits will kick in into a new realm where you will be able to see in the Spirit, and you'll be able to navigate the channels in the river, and you will go exactly where you need to go. You will stop when you need to stop. You will stop and get fueled up when you need to get fueled up. But God says now you don't have to oar any longer. His hand is over your hand. Amen. He's going to take you to where you need to go, because this is your time and your season. Amen.
Sometimes you just got to flow with where the Spirit's going. Sarah, I was over there, and it's like I saw you were looking up and you're worshiping, and then I saw this light. And it's like this light just flooded down over you, and you could see it, and you opened up your eyes. And I looked up also. And what I saw was the clouds that were overhead just parted all of a sudden, and the light just came down. And what I saw is you stood up and jumped up to your feet, and you looked up there and you saw the heavenly realm. And this is what I was hearing. I was hearing the Spirit of the Lord say is that you've been faithful in what he's called you to do. You've walked and walked and walked in places that haven't been easy at times. And he says that you've been faithful. And he says, I'm going to be faithful to you. He says in this new season, he is going to open up your eyes to his heavenly realms. And he's going to give you a taste of his Spirit that you haven't tasted before. You will see dreams, you will see visions, and you're going to hear his voice, not only for yourself, but for those around you that are your loved ones. And then you're going to begin to speak his word, his prophetic word to others. And even in some of those words, it's going to save their very lives because he's put that inside of you. He said, you've been faithful. I am going to be faithful to you and bless you.
Hallelujah. For those of you who are new to our gathering, this is a move of the Spirit of the gift of prophecy. That's the Spirit of God speaking individual words to particular people. The ones delivering the word don't know ahead of time many times what God is going to say. They're just moving by the Spirit, and God gives them that word on the spot, and it is from the Spirit of God. And when I first came in here this evening, the Lord gave me a word for Glenda, and he told me, Glenda, that the Spirit of the Lord has found you faithful. Faithful. I see faithful written all over you. And the Lord really rewards people who are faithful. And he said the greatest of those in the kingdom are the ones that are the servants. And you've been found faithfully serving God's people. And the Lord is getting ready to pour out a reward upon you, a blessing. There's a desire in your heart that he sees. And he's going to give you the desire that's on your heart. Don't be afraid to ask him for big things, not small things, big things, because God has found you faithful, and he will do that which he has promised you. And he's going to bless your children. He'll bless your children. You're going to have many, I see many actually, children around you. Yeah. Okay, that's very prophetic. I mean, he passed on his anointing, I'm sure. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And I also want to say for Vic and Liz, the Lord's hand is upon you as well. He brought you from a far country so that he could cause you to glean from the anointing that's in this land and to draw from the people of this cold region on the earth. For the Lord sends you to hot places, and you're going to bring with you some of the fire that you get from Alaska. There's something in you, Vic, that is a revivalist anointing. And the Lord says that there is a revival getting ready to break forth across the entire nation. It's already hitting the Muslim countries. It's already hitting in China. It has already hit in India. But the Spirit of the Lord says he's going to cause you to carry those revival fires as you travel to places that are very hot. And you're going to pour it out upon them, and they're going to just simply come alive. And the Lord's giving you a new anointing in that teaching gift in you. That anointing, that prophetic teaching is going to increase in you as you continue to teach. Hallelujah. Now. Peg teaching.
Monique, when I was given that word to Karen, I was standing here and I just looked over at you real quick, and what I saw is a crown on your head, and it was just dainty. It had some Lord saying is he says that you are his princess. He says his favor is upon you. And he says, although there's been some struggle and some hard times that have happened, he says you are his princess. And he's bringing you to another place. And he's favoring you as his loved one, as his daughter. And in his season, in times to come, he's going to rise you up to that place of his calling and purpose for your life. Because he says that you will speak his word. And I don't know exactly what that looks like, but you're going to speak his words in power, in truth, in demonstration. Because he is placing his prophetic mantle and anointing upon your life. Just release that right now. A prophetic mantle in Jesus' name.
And really, you are a warrior. There is a warrior within you, Monique. And at times you felt like you might be too much. But the Lord says that you're not too much. You're not too much for me. And I just see you going to and fro in your house, and you begin to do warfare. And the Lord says that he is training your hands and training your fingers for war, for a spiritual warfare. For he has made you a soldier in Christ, and he will give you the understanding of what it means to be a soldier in Christ, and not just a pew warmer, but a soldier in Christ. And he's going to begin to train you in the privacy of your own home, and you will just let yourself roar and rip. And I just see you just going through, and the Lord giving you, he's going to give you specific scriptures, and you just going for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And that warrior is coming back out in you again, Amy. Amen. Amen. It's like the Lord, you've been pressed between a hard place and a rock, or however that saying goes. And the Lord says that I was in it. I was in it. And even in this pressure, the anointing is coming forth, and he's going to surround you with people that's gonna help bring that anointing forth that's in you. Because really, you are a warrior woman, and you've, you know, and sometimes, you know, we try to put that off to the side because we think that we shouldn't do it this way and we shouldn't do it that way, and maybe they won't accept me this way or they won't accept me that way. But the Lord said he's created you to be exactly who he's created you to be, and you are an exact person. You are a bottom line person, and the Lord loves your personality, and he's going to surround you with people who's going to help bring out the anointing that's in you. For the anointing is in the cluster, the Lord says, and he's going to hook you up with other prayer warriors, and you're going to be able to do the Holy Ghost hoedown, yes, in front of other people, not just by yourself, and you're used to doing it by yourself. But he says, I'm going to hook you up with other people that's going to help you. That's just, you're going to feel totally free and comfortable, and you won't care, and you're going to let your hair hang down. And you're, when you're doing the Holy Ghost hoedown, the Lord is going to be delivering you and them, and he's going to give you strategic things. It's going to be strategic. It's going to be for a purpose, and you will know why and what for. So this season is your season as well, Amy. No more holding back. He's taking off that spirit of restriction off from you. Who cares what anybody thinks? You're doing it for the King.
It's all right. We just got to keep going a little bit further. What I was hearing the Lord say is the revival that's begun in your family. family is going to continue. And what I'm seeing is chains that have been there are falling off, but also what I'm seeing is your hands taking chains and ripping them down and breaking them over generations of the Alaskan people. He said his hand is upon you to prosper you and to bring you into his places of authority in his spirit. And he says that you will speak a word and it'll take place. You will lay hands upon the sick and they will recover. And there will be many that will be delivered. They will be delivered in your timing. So what the Lord is saying is continue to seek after him. Continue just to step forward in those small ways, because he's going to have you as a family to step forward in big ways. Even in the village, even in those places, he is going to expound. He's going to expound your understanding of who he is and who he is and who you are in his kingdom. Hallelujah. Just one more. One more. Dick, when I was standing right there, what I was seeing is I was seeing this little engine. And it was just turning. This little engine was turning. And then, I saw this little engine and it was going. And then it's like I saw a hand and just expanded out and it got bigger. And then it's like I saw this hand that twisted this knob. And that engine just went like that and started speeding up and getting faster and faster and faster. And what I was hearing the Lord saying is that he is strengthening you for this next season of your life, because his power and his anointing is going to flow through you in a new way, in that apostolic anointing. And his spirit and his words and his revelation is going to flow and flow and flow. He says that he's going to not only refire you, but he's going to cause his power to flow through you. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. And Dick, the Spirit of the Lord would say that year of grieving is coming to an end and something new is beginning. And there is a new energy for this part of the course. Even as Caleb, who was in his 80s, said, "My eye is not dim." His strength was not abated. Give me that mountain. And the Lord says, you ask him for the mountain, he's going to give you the mountain. You ask him for the land, he will give you the land. You ask him for the kingdom, he will give you the kingdom. For the Lord says, you have found favor in his sight. And your prayers need to come up higher, because he desires to give you some big things. Don't hold back in this hour. Go for broke. This is the final stretch. Throw off the weight and begin to go for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I believe, is your name Angelique? Michelle. Oh, see, I keep forgetting your name. The Lord never forgets your name. I heard a prophetic word one time when this man came up to prophesy over this other guy, and he said, "Sir, the Lord has forgotten your name." But the Lord knows your name is Michelle, just so you know. Hallelujah. Michelle, I was asking the Lord for a word for you. And he said he has seen the difficulty of the last season, but this is a new season. I see him turning on a light bulb, that where you have not understood things, he's going to cause you to understand it. Where you've not been able to see the way to go, he's going to show you the way to go. I see the light on your path getting brighter. It's more and more and more brighter, so that even those things that you've struggled with or stumbled over in the past, they're gone. They mean nothing. God says that's only prepared you for this hour, when God's turning on the light to a higher degree. You've always had light, but not like the floodlight that God is getting ready to turn on. You're going to start to see and understand things in a new way, in a fresh way. And the minute you turn your heart to God, you're going to see the answer. So keep turning to Him. Keep turning to Him. And keep demanding that answer. Hallelujah. We're going to do something a little differently tonight. Get ready. I want to take an offering.
Robert was sharing something that really sparked a memory that happened to me last week. And after Robert shared talking about how God is opening a new chapter, I felt like God reminded me of something that happened to me last week. And ever since, I was kind of arguing with Him of whether I should share it or not. But I really feel like this is for everybody. He woke me up out of my sleep and spoke audibly in my right ear, and He said, "Sweet new mornings." And when He spoke that, it just resonated so deeply within me. And then after that, some scriptures started flooding me. "Sweet, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see how sweet His presence is. And new, God makes all things new. And even though sorrow comes in the night, joy comes in the mornings, sweet new mornings." And I just feel like there might be a few people here that are just feeling very discouraged, like maybe you're not qualified, but God's saying, you are qualified because of my presence in you. You are qualified because of Jesus living inside of you. So I just encourage you to receive that. If you're feeling discouraged, that there's some sweet new mornings awaiting for you, and there's a new chapter coming in your life.
Praise God. Woo! I'm going to do something. I actually haven't asked Robert and Eleanor. Is it okay if I sort of take my liberty here? All right. Got a thumbs up. Normally, we don't take an offering. We have offering baskets. But we have a very special speaker tonight. And so I thought, I think I need to just give everyone an opportunity to sow into the ministry to support special speakers that we have come in. So I'd like to ask you if you would just stop for a moment and consider giving a special offering this evening, a beginning of the year first fruits offering, just to sow into this coming year for yourselves. And for the speakers that we're able to bring in, if you would like to do that, you can, does anyone write checks anymore? Write a check to KAN, Kingdom Alliance Ministries, and please bring it forward in the baskets. We're not going to make it formal and pass anything up and down the aisles, although we could. I want to give you opportunity to come forward. Just move around a little bit. Come on, you guys. God. There's my favorite snurts player. Snurts. Anybody here play snurts? Just one other person? Oh man, snurts is a blast. You should come over to my house and play snurts sometime. Don't you guys play snurts out in the village? Are you from the city? We play snurts in the city too. Yeah. Yeah. We'll teach you. Oh boy. I'll get in trouble with people who don't play cards because it's a see your faces, the beginning of the year, God is good. This is the Kingdom Alliance meeting. Robert and Eleanor Roll and myself, Mary Glazier, we felt like God was directing us to start holding some meetings and to create an atmosphere for the Holy Ghost to move. So this is the Holy Ghost meeting. And the Holy Ghost will move any way he chooses. But I'll give you a little clue for all of you. In a meeting where the Holy Ghost is showing up, anything can happen. So whatever you need, ask him for it before you get here. Michelle said she was asking God for a word. And guess what happened? He gave her a word. You know, so you have a need. Ask God to meet that need and then look for it. Be expectant, full of faith. Because to me, a meeting where the Holy Ghost is moving is a treasure. Man, that's like being handed a blank check, you know. And so many people miss it because they don't realize what power they have to just ask. You know, it's not that we can make things happen, but we can create an atmosphere where something can happen, and you ignite it with your faith. So come with your faith guns loaded. Hallelujah. Speaking of faith, I want to introduce a very special speaker tonight, very close friend of mine. I've known Dick for probably 40 years, Dick. At least for a little more than 40, something like that. I used to work for him. Yeah, Dick Strath, yeah, I was good. I had to be good to work for Dick. We had a lot of fun. Do you remember when I used to find the Bible school students every time they lost their ID and I had to make them a new one? I'd find them 50 cents. And every time I had to redo something for them, I'd find them 50%. 50 cents. And then at the end of the year, I'd throw a big pizza party for everybody. Dick Strutz, Richard K. Strutz, is an amazing man of God. Faithful. You know, it's one thing to be called of God. It's another thing to be anointed. And it's a totally different kettle of fish to have the character to sustain the anointing. Dick Strutz is a man of tremendous character. He is a man who is honorable and full of integrity, loving and very, very kind. A lot of wisdom in this man. And he plays a pretty mean basketball game, I understand. I'd like you to consider getting his book, Bible Foundations. It is an excellent book on laying a foundation in your Christian walk. He's an author. He's a teacher. He's a friend. Great fisherman. And we're going to get some nuggets from this man of God. He's a patriarch in the body of Christ, and he belongs to the Old Geezers Club. So, Dick, would you please come up and share with us? Please stand and welcome Dick Strutz.
I haven't spoken in this building in a long time. But I helped build it 50 years ago. I have hundreds of hours building this building. And a lot of my money, too. But it was a fun time. It was a fun time doing that. Bob Horowitz reminded me. Bob, he was playing down here. Were you playing a saxophone tonight? Didn't notice. He reminded me of the night that I baptized him about 40 years ago, right there. We used to, our baptistry is right there, see? And, oh, I baptized hundreds of people in those days. Did I baptize you too? How many here that I baptized? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Because that was my job, I think. I just was trying to baptize people. And this meeting is something, I didn't even know you were doing it until just recently, until last month, that Mary and Robert, Eleanor, got to me and they had to feed me dinner, but they said what you were doing. You know, and some of the words that has been spoken tonight is just exactly what God laid on my heart to speak to you about. Fits right in. And have you ever been late for an appointment and somebody said to you, it's about time? Have you? Yeah, most of us have. Well, that's the title of my message today. It's about time. I don't know if you remember all the words that were spoken talking about time. Yeah. Well, you know, our very intelligent people, you know, the ones that have IQs that are way off the chart, and they are members of our scientific community. You know how they, when they talk about time, when things happened, you know, of course, they believe in evolution. So, I mean, you have to have an awful lot of time to make things happen, right? But they don't realize that the time elapses for long periods of time, things have a tendency to rot, not give life. Well, they ignore that, but like they'll say, it took 2 billion years to do this. But they have no idea what 1 billion years is. I mean, just nothing. And then they'll say, you know, maybe one of them will say, well, you know, I've been studying this subject. I think maybe it took longer than that. Say, okay, 3 billion, you know, who cares, right? What they don't understand is that they don't understand time. They just don't understand time. You know, eternity into the future, it's fairly easy to imagine what that is. Now, my wife went to be with the Lord about a year ago, and at her funeral, I remember I got up and I said, people have been saying to me, oh, I'm so sorry you lost your wife. I said, I didn't lose my wife. I know where she is. and I know how to get there. So it won't be long. I'm trusting. I'd like to have a really good shot at that. I appreciate the words that you guys gave to me, because that's what I'm thinking. What am I going to do now, you know? Because my body doesn't, I don't play basketball anymore, Mary. By the way, I was there when Mary the first time she prophesied. Remember that? Scared to death. But that's one of the reasons I really like this gathering, because that's kind of what's on my heart, and I'll be sharing that as I go along in this message. We need to have gatherings like this that the Holy Spirit can move, and you feel like you're invited to participate in it. You know, I think sometimes talking about our scientists, our scientific community, you know how a lot of fairy tales start with once upon a time? That's what they should do. It shouldn't be. You know, they should say, well, once upon a time it started, or whatever. But I've got a couple of questions I want to ask before I start anything else. Question one is, what are the first three words in the Bible? In the beginning. Now, the second question is, the beginning of what? Did you ever wonder what that was? In the beginning? If that was the beginning, what was before the beginning? In the beginning of what? Well, it says in the beginning, God created and so forth, but I'm convinced that that was the beginning of time. In the beginning of time. Because, you know, there is no way for us, in the way that God built us, there's no way for us to understand eternity past. You mean your mind, just you can't get your mind around that. Because we're stuck in time. You know, we always want to know, yeah, when? I don't think when was before Genesis 1. I don't think anybody said when. You know. Because there was no when. Well, but in eternity past, there's no way to get our minds around eternity past. It just can't do it. And so, but I'm convinced that what that says is in the beginning, that was the beginning of time, and God then began to do things after that. The thing is that when God built the, I don't know if you call it the realm of time, he made that, but he's not bound to it, because he's God. You see, it wasn't the beginning of creation, because he had created angels and all kinds of seraphim and things in the heavenlies before that. So he was in the creating business long before Genesis 1. So it can't mean just in the beginning of creation. It must be in the beginning of time. So once upon a time, now God's not bound by his time, but he has in time, in the essence of time, he has established things in time and time schedules and events to happen in certain times, right? He has. For instance, I think it was Isaiah that prophesied Israel. Oh, I know what it was. Yeah, Isaiah prophesied that unto us a son would be given, unto us a son is born. And that didn't happen for 400 years, right? And so at times, in the book of Genesis, it says, you know, he talks about his people would be in bondage for 400 years. Can you just imagine now if somebody was reading the scripture and they're in bondage for 200 years, and one guy says, I'm getting tired of this bondage. We're never going to get out of here. You know, and then another guy says, no, I just read it in the scripture. And he says, it's 400 years, so we only have 200 years to go, and we're out of here. Yeah. So it's stuff like that, you know. What God does with time, and he sets these things in order for us. But there's heavenly time and earthly time. And I don't think really in the heavens there's any time at all. I was reading Abraham's book the other day. Have you got a copy of his book? Oh, yeah? Where? Okay. And one day I was reading his book. And it's typical of the people, they call it near-death experiences, but they really are dead. Anyway, it seems to me that you can spend an awful lot of time in heaven, and it seems like a long time, I mean, days, maybe a long time, period, a long period of time, and then, but really, you're only physically dead for maybe minutes. So there's a difference of the heavenly time and the time that we have on earth. And the time that God sets. You know, I was over in the Moravian church last Sunday night. Yeah, it was really something. Somebody told me the Spirit of God's really moving over there, so I went over there. And they meet in Skyline Foursquare at 6 o'clock every Sunday night. I really enjoyed it. You know what? Because one of the things, Bethel, the city of Bethel, where most of the Moravians come from, you know, that's in that area. That's the beginning of what I think was the first Moravian missions in Alaska. It was in Bethel back in about 1880. They started that. And Bethel, you know, it means house of God. Can you imagine now? I have a good imagination of seeing what I can just see these Moravians. I've got a kind of a personal relationship with early Bethel, because the Dr. Romig that was over there in Bethel, he got there about 9 or 10 years after the first team got there. He became my family doctor when I was a little kid here in Anchorage. In fact, he operated on me and my brother both. So I just kind of have a thing about Bethel, but can you imagine when those natives, those Yupiks over there, they said, it was a team of Moravians, they said, what do we name this place? And probably, you know, you think, maybe they just had a list of names and whatever sounds good. No, I believe they made that declaration that Bethel, the house of God, is the house of God. This is the house of God on the Kuskokwim River. And I believe they made that declaration, that proclamation, that this is the house of God. And when it started off, it was when you read the history of Bethel, you can see where that was really the house of God. People were drawn into there, and lots of people were saved. Well, the team leader that was in that first team over there was a guy named Joseph Henry Kilbuck. He was a full-blooded Delaware Indian. Doesn't that fit? Huh? Got somebody from Delaware, aren't they in the East Coast someplace? Anyway, I think that's pretty neat when they come over here. So they named the place Bethel. Now, Bethel does not look like the house of God today. Now, I haven't been in Bethel since 1945, a while back. I was 15, went over there, worked one summer. But it doesn't look like that today, but I'm convinced that because they made that proclamation that we're going to see, before Jesus gets back, we're going to see Bethel as the house of God. Wouldn't that be something? I can just see it. Because, you know, the reason I like that is because it goes along with what God gave me. God gave me an understanding back in 1984 that Anchorage would become a Christian city. And I thought, well, do you see it? Do you see much evidence? Not yet. But he also gave me to understand it probably would not happen under my time of ministry. I don't really minister much anymore. I just kind of sit around and, you know, whatever old guys do. We have a geezers group on every. We have a geezers breakfast every Tuesday down at the IHOP restaurant. Dick Benjamin and myself and a bunch of old guys. We just sit around and talk about old guy stuff, you know. But it's a wonderful. We realized last Tuesday we realized it's a home meeting. Hey, we have a home meeting. Yeah, and the geezers breakfast. I can remember when God moves in certain times. It seems like he selects times. Like, this is a good time for him. Back in the, I know most of you weren't around in the late 60s. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? But the Spirit of God began to move in the city of Anchorage. And we couldn't figure out why it was happening at that time, because we just kind of like, we were just looking around thinking, wow, what's happening? And the Spirit of God was moving, and it was moving in the denominational churches. I mean, it was moving in other churches, but the Presbyterians and Episcopalians and Lutherans and even the Catholics. We had some powerful prayer meetings in the Catholic Church. We had Catholic, but they were all Spirit-filled Catholics, I think. I mean, it was powerful. And what happened was that we in Abbott Loop, Dick Benjamin was the pastor at the time, and I was just here. But the people kept pouring into this church. They kept pouring into this church. And by the time I became on staff in the beginning of 1972 to start the Bible college, we were trying to train these people, because God had already spoken to Dick about get ready, I'm going to send out a bunch of people to start new churches. And it kind of, you know, that's not good news to a lot of pastors. Because you want all you can get, you know, in your group. Because there's various reasons. It makes you look good. That's where the money is. You always just being honest. No, but you want, but God said to him, and he didn't feel too good about it, you know, at the beginning. But it worked that way. We began to send people out as fast as we could, train them, and people would say, you know, I feel called. I want to go so-and-so. And we had a system, and it was good, and the way we arranged it. But these people, we had a church. We had built onto that building over there, that other part. This is typical Alaska construction, you know, just add on. And so we said if we could just keep sending them out fast enough, we won't have to build. But we could never do that, because they came in faster than we could get rid of them. And so we doubled the size of the auditorium, got to 90. Now maybe we can send them out faster. We didn't want them to stop coming in, but I'm just telling you about what you can expect to come. Listen, this is going to come, and it's going to come in spades. We're going to see more than that coming. That's the point of this whole message. That's the point of this whole message. And so, we got to 900, and that wasn't enough. So we finally built the whole auditorium on. And it was not uncommon for us to have 2,000 people on a Sunday morning service. They were packed. And we kept sending them out. But anyway, I said all that because the Spirit of God is going to move again. But it's going to move. And the thing is, my message is, we need to get ready. We need to get ready. I think one of the things that kept that thing going were the prayer meetings that were all over the town. We had prayer meetings in Episcopal people were doing it, Presbyterians were doing it, the Catholics were doing it. Wherever you went, there were great prayer meetings. They weren't prayer meetings where you just went in and say everybody sat in their chair and prayed quietly, like a bunch of individual prayers. It was corporate prayer, and I'm totally convinced that corporate prayer is the big guns of prayer. Corporate prayer, focused corporate prayer. Now, note number 3. I had a couple of, God communicated me in a very special way after I got saved. I got saved in a building, a church called Mountain View Chapel back in 1953. And the church is still there. The building is still there. It's called Lighthouse in the North. Lighthouse? No. Bethel Chapel. Anyway, Brother Evans is the pastor, right? Anyway, I had a dream after I'd first gotten saved. That's too long. And in how you just understand, you understand, oh, this is a God thing. Well, I was on 4th Avenue, and I could see people. Some people, a guy over here on the sidewalk, and somebody's praying with him. He's down on his knees. Another one over here witnessing somebody else, and they're giving their heart to God. And I just got the message from God that there's going to be such a huge ingathering. Now, I'm a brand new Christian. I got this message from God in a dream that there's going to be such a huge ingathering in our city. What that did to me? That stayed in me, and it's still there. It's still there. I mean, it's just like, this is a God thing, and ain't going away. I'm not forgetting it. Doesn't get any dimmer. I can still see the people. on his knees. I could still see. Anyway, I had that understanding. Then in 1984, I believe God gave me a vision. Not a vision that I could see, but a vision on the inside. And I had a vision of Anchorage becoming a Christian city. Anchorage becoming a Christian city. And then, you know what, I thought, well, what will I do with that? I began to voice it among my pastor friends, you know, in the communities and around in the community of Anchorage. And they just kind of, they begin to look at you like, yeah, okay, yeah. Because Anchorage doesn't look like a Christian city, right? And you know what? I had an understanding that when people, after it became a Christian city, now I don't mean everybody's going to be saved, but that means that there are going to be so many people saved that we're going to be able to permeate every facet of the city, government, businesses, everything, be all over the place. And that when people heard the word Anchorage, they would think Christian. Just like when you hear the word San Francisco. No. You know what I mean, don't you? Yeah. Well, I'm convinced it's about time, and for that to happen again, because I also understand from just the scripture that we're going to have a tremendous ingathering before Jesus gets back. But in the natural, does it look good for Christianity in the natural? I mean, it doesn't look good. It does not look good. I mean, we're being persecuted all over the world, being killed, persecuted. And look at what's happening to our own country, and I won't go into all of that in the politics. But it doesn't look like it is, but I'm convinced it's going to be. I believe the church is going to be so bright that when the world gets so dark, the church is going to be so bright because it's so filled with the Spirit of God that people are going to say, hey, I'll give you a scripture for that in a minute. But look at the 24th chapter of Matthew. It says, therefore, you also be ready. This is the 44th verse, Matthew 24, 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. I believe that God has already set the time and the hour, and there's nothing we can do to change that. In fact, that's what Jesus said. He said, hey, the angels don't know the time. He said, I don't even know the time. Only my Father knows the time, but the time is set. So it's coming, and there's nothing you can do to delay that or to usher it in earlier. Therefore, also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. And then, who then is a faithful and a wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. There's a doing to be doing, church. That's what he's saying in this whole passage. If you read the whole chapter, you really get a message that he wants us to be doing this God's stuff before all of this happens. It's a preparation. It's like Mary said, you know what this meeting does? This meeting is primarily prophetic, right? I mean, that was your bent, prophetic. It trains people to be prophetic. You think, can you train people? Yes, you can. You set up an atmosphere of the prophetic in a place like this. Like Mary said, you set the atmosphere, and the Spirit of God will begin to move, and people will begin to think, I think that's the Spirit of God moving on me. When before you had said, I feel it tingling. But maybe, and just maybe, you can do that. Right? I was over in New Zealand once, and they were, in those days, they were very prophetic. I've never, man, around, and it was real. I don't mean it was all. I mean, yeah, every once, you have, anytime you have a lot of light, anytime there's lots of light, you draw bugs. And so, Sometimes ones that get up to prophesy, he's a bug. You know, he's not. Anyway, it's not real all the time, but there's a vast majority of it is good. And so, but it gives you the opportunity to get brave. You know, that's the one thing that we really lack. It's not so much we lack faith. We just lack courage. We just lack guts. Just to start doing the stuff. Anyway, maybe we have a meeting just to show people how to be gutsy. I don't know. But anyway, this scripture, now I believe there's a pathway to this, to the vision of having what we want. We want real revival, don't we? I believe there's a pathway to do that. And I'm just going to suggest some things out of that pathway. How do we do that? The first thing you do, I think, we need to establish corporate prayer meetings that are focused corporate prayer meetings. My wife and I, one time, we went over to Korea. Chose church over in Korea, and those Koreans have a focused prayer meeting. Intense. You know what they do? The person up leading it, and imagine this. We had one of our meetings in the Olympic Stadium, sat about 110,000 people. There was probably 80 or 90,000 Christians in there. And the guy gets up, and they also did this and chose church, but he would get up, and he would say what they were going to pray for. This is what we're going to pray for. Then he would have a little tiny bell, and he would tinkle this bell, ding-a-ling. They could hear it through the microphone. And everybody would take off praying out loud. I mean, there was no, now we lay me down, now I lay me down to sleep type prayers. It was just, there was no, you know, no, let's have a silent prayer. No, that you ought to heard that 180,000 people, when the little bell went tinkle, they just roared. I mean, just, whoa, makes your hair stand up. And I couldn't understand a word they were saying. But I was in it. And I was praying in tongues. Because I don't know what they were praying in, but I was praying in tongues. But you just have that corporate prayer. So when we came back, we did it in the city church for a while. And just, I don't know why we kept doing it. Get a bell. And oh, to end it, the same guy, when he thought, okay, that's enough, then he just tinkling. And boy, you have total silence. Wow. I mean, the whole thing's like, that's a miracle. How do you shut people up that fast? You know? Well, I'm just saying that we need to get back to corporate prayer meetings. Corporate prayer meetings. I mean, I can remember one time we used to have these every once in a while. And one time I asked Mary to lead this meeting. You know what she did? She said, okay. We're going to start by praying in tongues for 45 minutes. It's hard to pray in tongues without opening your mouth. And so, 45 minutes. Now, it's easy for me to pray in tongues, but I don't think I ever have for 45 minutes. But it was an experience. And thank you, Mary. That was wonderful. That was great. But I just, that's one of the things that it's so easy to do. Isn't that easy to do? Now, we may not get any one church to do that, but that's one of the reasons I like this, because this is the church, but it's not like official, or it's official, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Now, that's one thing we do. This is preparation. I doubt very seriously if that revival we had in the late 60s into the mid 70s would have lasted if we didn't have the prayer meetings. Next thing we can do is do everything we can do to establish a spirit of unity with the whole Church of Anchorage. Unity. If you ever read the Jesus prayer in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I'll paraphrase this, but what it says, he's praying. Do you think Jesus' prayers were answered? together in unity, he's talking about the whole church, then the unsaved will see that and they'll come in. You know, how many times have you heard the argument, the church is full of hypocrites, you know? Or, you know, this is not real. But when they see the reality, you know what? Now you can do this, you can develop this unity in all kinds of ways. You know what I used to do? I used to do this years ago. I would take pastors, everybody, any pastor that wanted to come. And so it's oftentimes, I would take them over the Little Sioux River where I had a camp. Did I, we ever go with our camp, Amy? Didn't go. That's too bad. Amy lived with us for a while. Anyway, we take maybe four or five boats, and we would get together, and you have to spend the night. It's not just a day trip. You have to spend the night because of the tides. You can't get in and out of the river, except on the flood. So we would take them over there, and that was what you really really fellowship is all about. That's a bunch of fellows in the same ship. And you spend all day. Now, now most of the time when pastors get together, they're very very defensive. Well, for whatever reason, they're just hard to get to break the ice. But I found out that if I can get them on my boat for all day, it's pretty well broken. And at night, when you get them around the fire and you're worshiping God, I mean, when that's all done, you have developed relationships, which is unity coming out of the church. Whether all kinds of denominations, you know, it wasn't just our denomination. It was all kinds of various denominations. We did that year after year after year. But stuff like that, we need to do everything we can to develop a spirit of unity. And another thing we can do to do that is to go visit other churches. When I was pastoring, every once in a while, we couldn't have a service for some reason. So I would say to people, go to the church of your second choice. Yeah. Well, it's good. Like over at Moravian Church, man, I loved it over there. I love the freedom that those Yupiks have. I mean, they don't care whether they can sing or not. Right? I mean, they got over that years ago. I've been in villages up north. I mean, most of the villages we ministered in mostly was around Kotzebue, Kevalina. That was those other Eskimos, you know. And anyway, so I'm pretty familiar with that culture. But the man, I so enjoyed that. And I really like to go visit other churches. So I do that every once in a while, go visit other churches. I remember I visited a church in Palmer a while back, and the Rock Church up there, big church. And I walked in. Bev and I were just, we walked in and looked around, and I bet I had pastored 10% of those people over the years. I mean, it's like, wow, this is so good. You know, one of my daughters goes to Abbott Loop. Yeah. Now, why isn't she in City Church? Huh? She goes to Abbott Loop. Now, another woman came to me the other day and said, Dad, and she was thinking, was I going to be upset? She said, I've been going to Muldoon. I said, wonderful. That's good. That's it. She's not a Struts anymore, but you know, everybody knows she belongs to me. And I think that's really good when you can spread your seed around like that. Man, you can contaminate all kinds of churches. That's one thing. Here's another thing. Practice the presence of God. That's what this meeting is doing. This meeting is practicing the presence of God. This meeting is giving people an opportunity not just to be prophesied to, but to learn to prophesy. And when you do that, you get a freedom in your spirit, and you know that you can minister to somebody else. Don't you love to have somebody give you a word? Mary gave me a word years ago, and she put it in writing, and I still have it on my office wall, very short. It's just telling me, God saying, I love you, my son. Whew. I mean, that's good to be reminded. I know that. But that's good. Okay. Here's how we could do this. Now I'm trying to, what can we do to bring in the presence of God and to teach people to minister? I believe we ought to have meetings where we just minister to the sick. I used to do this in my home. And not just have the heavyweights come in and do all the ministry. I didn't want that. I wanted to train people to do the work of the ministry. Now, there's a lot of people that say, it says lay hands on the sick, and people look at their hand and say, there's nothing there. That's my hand. It doesn't have any power in it. I mean, that's what's going through their mind. That's not true. If you get to, you know what I found out? In churches, every church I've been in, there's usually one or two people that are very evangelistic. Karen was an evangelist. I mean, she was a soul winner. That's what you're doing now. But anyway, I believe you're going to start again then, maybe. Wonderful. Anyway, so what was I going to say? Anyway, just the power of the hands. I found out that the people that are really evangelistic keep bringing people in, and they keep getting them saved and bringing people into church. You know how they do that? They talk to other people. They go out there and minister to other people on the street or wherever they are on their job, and people say, oh, yeah, well, let me see it, and they bring them in. Either get them saved out there or get them saved in the church. I don't care. But you get it by doing it. You can say, I'm afraid to do it. Well, get over it. I mean, just do it. And if you start doing it, you're going to get results, and you're going to say, whoa, it works for me. Well, the same thing applies to healing. I know that the more you lay your hands on the sick and pray the prayer of faith, that more people get healed. That's no mystery, right? That's easy. I mean, I don't know how it all works, but I just know that it works. So, what else can we do? We need to recognize ministry out in the marketplace. Ministry in the marketplace. I believe we have apostles in the marketplace here in Anchorage. I believe we have pastors in the marketplace. My son Rick was in the bank for, 41 or 42 years, Wells Fargo Bank. And now he quit that about, 2 years ago, or he retired from there. And couldn't stand retirement, so he went to work for a native corporation out of Nome. It's the city of Nome. Anyway, he went to do that because they had a couple of title companies they needed help with, and so they said, would you help maybe come and straighten those out? Well, he came and he did, and then now they asked him to run the whole corporation. But you know, then somebody in the bank told him not long ago, he said, you know, Rick, ever since you've been gone, there's nobody here to pray for us. Because he'd tell some of these customers that come in, and they said, well, I think I'm going down the tube. My business is not doing it. You're not going to fail. I'm praying for you. You know, just stuff like that. And you just witness, and you just do the stuff out. I don't know what he was, but like Rick Benjamin. Everybody know Rick? Yeah. He pastored this church for a number of years. He just didn't fit. I don't think he liked that very much. And he did a good job. He's an excellent teacher. But he's now on the staff of that Hope. And what do they have, about 1,200, 1,500 employees? They don't call him a chaplain, but that's what he does. I think he's pastoring more people there than he ever did here. He's out in the marketplace. He's a pastor in the marketplace. We've got him out there, but I'm convinced that we need to recognize him and just tell him, you know, what you're doing the work of the ministry out there. You're just as important out there, in fact, maybe more than the one here. Because that's where the unsaved are out there. A few of them come to church, but reluctantly. Business people. I would like to see my daughter, Lindy, it works for the new governor. She worked for Sean when he was governor, but now she's on the boards and commissions, finding people for the boards and commissions. It's a hard job. And you know what? I think Christians ought to be on lots of boards and commissions. I mean, be out there where we can be the salt of the earth. You know, this salt doesn't do any good if you just got it in the shaker, right? Get it out there where it can do the work on boards and commissions and places like that. There's stuff to be done, which we just need to start doing it. Yeah. We need to impact on the vision. I'd like to see people pick up a vision that Anchorage become a Christian city and just start speaking it. Start speaking it. Speak it to your friends. Speak it around. Anchorage is going to become a Christian city. Anchorage, yeah. And the more you speak it, the more you'll believe it. And then and people will pick it up and they'll say, do you think it's possible? Oh, yeah. God's going to do it. I believe God promised it. Now, I'm not the only one that has a dream, but I have a dream. I have a dream that the whole state of Alaska be so impacted with the gospel. And I so much appreciated those prophetic words tonight, because I'm just sitting around this. I'm 86 years old. That's getting old, isn't it? And everything doesn't function like it used to. And I stagger a lot. But I don't fall much. But I've been praying, God, I don't want to go out of this life just being a spectator. So thank you, guys. Thank you for the prophetic word. Hallelujah.
I think it would be wonderful to have Dick impart some of that Holy Ghost faith that he carries to us. If you would like him to do that, I want you to stand. Dick, I'd like you to make a declaration over this group. Impart that faith for healing, that faith for deliverance, that faith for Anchorage to be a Christian city. You've got it in you.
The valley, yeah. You know what I'm thinking? That's for me, that's all the same. I know that they don't like to think that, but it's all the same area. And so, yeah. So, Father, thank you, God, for just being here tonight, allowing me to share what's inside of me, what you planted in there. Now, Father, I want to make this declaration in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, upon the congregation of people, that they will pick up what they heard tonight, not because I said it, but because, Lord, it's your will that they go out and begin to do the stuff of the ministry. Lord, whatever that is, Lord, you said you give various giftings to this one and to that one, and they're all different, and if they weren't different, we couldn't function as a body. But, God, you gave us this ability by the Spirit. Lord, you filled us with your Spirit, not so that we can feel good, not just that, but so that we could do good. do what you do. So, Lord, I declare that this gathering of people will be empowered by your Spirit to do the work of the ministry on your behalf in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Ooh. Another thing that Dick said that I thought was very important, you have healing in your hands. You do. But you have to lay these hands on someone to impart the healing. So right now I want to give you an opportunity to stir up the gift of healing inside of you. And I want you to lay hands on someone who needs healing. So everybody sit down right now. All right, those of you who have a healing need, get to your feet, please. We're going to heal you. Now, that sounds like a brash thing to say, but the Holy Ghost is inside of us. He is the power of God, and you are the instrument God will use to heal those that are standing. Now, I want the rest of you to look around, see someone that's standing, and I want you to choose somebody and go to them and begin to pray, and don't plead for healing. Declare the healing. Ask them what they have need of. And then declare the healing. You hear me? Don't say, Father, please heal him. Say, be healed in Jesus' name. You heal. So go to them right now and begin to heal them. Stretch your faith. Come on, release it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and just start talking to you for a little bit. For those of you that can, just go ahead and we'll sit down just for a couple of minutes before this night. I just wanted to ask you all something. Do you feel that thing that's going like this? That thing that's in your heart that's going like this? That is exactly what I'm feeling is right here, that stirring that's in my heart for the purposes of God. And it's all what Dick was speaking to us about and releasing is that stirring in our hearts for his purposes. Did you hear some instruction? I heard the instruction. One of the main instructions was the corporate prayer. Is there anyone that prays in this place? Good. Me too. One of the things that I heard Dick saying is that we need to recognize the people that are out there. That was a part of the instruction for me, to recognize some of those people that are out in the community and they're doing the work of the Lord. You know what? We're not all called to stand up here and speak words and things like that. You know, I work at a job myself, and I'm a pastor at my job. I'm a pastor to youth. I'm a pastor to adults. There's people that come to me just asking me for advice and things like that, and I give it to them, and I pray for them. You know, that's instruction that we've received. And you know, when you were asking, is this prayer meeting mainly about the prophetic? Yeah. purpose of that is the kingdom of God, for us to come into unity, which was a part of your message, unity in his kingdom, for us to network together. And what is that for? It's for activation. That is the real purpose of these meetings, is to activate you, activate me, anyone that we come in contact with, to activate into his kingdom for his kingdom purposes. And part of that is releasing the word of the Lord, releasing the prophetic. And you know what? It's about time. You know, we can be impatient sometimes. It's about time. I was thinking about this, the state trooper, when we were going through Kansas, and they give a lot of tickets there because that's how they get their revenue. So we were driving through Kansas in January, and I was heard about this state trooper that was waiting to pull someone over, but it took a long time. It took like 2.5 hours before a speeder finally came along, and finally that speeder, somebody came and was speeding, so that officer, you know, turned on the sirens, took off after him, pulled him over, and he walked up to the car and says to the guy, he says, "I've been waiting for you all morning long." And the guy said, "Well, I got here as fast as I could." Vic, I'm not going to tell that other one. Keep that stirring in your heart. Stir it up yourself. Just stir that up, because that's what's going to make the difference. That's what's going to give us life in our mortal bodies. That's what's going to give life to our family and our neighbors. It's where the fire is going to come from. Keep it stirring up. What a wonderful time tonight. Just when you think it can't get any better, something happens like this. Wasn't it good? So good. I've laid out a whole bunch of these in the back, and it's covering the entire table. I just laid them all out as much as possible so everyone can see them. And we have Judy Jacobs coming, and she's going to be here February 11 and 12 and 13. So please take some of these flyers, invite people, go to your pastor, hand him some flyers, and maybe they can make copies of them and hand them out in their bulletins. Invite people to come to this, because it's going to be a wonderful time of worship. When people come together in that corporate prayer, in that corporate worship, we're going to foster this thing together, all of us. We're going to do this all together and watch what the Lord does in his spirit, and how he's going to pour out upon this city and stir our hearts to continue. So please, take this, take these with you, and invite people to come. Father, we just bless you. We worship you. God, I thank you, Lord, for your servant, for Richard Stretz, Lord. Lord, you have created him to speak your words of authority, to stir up your people, to activate into the year service. And Lord, I just thank you, God, for strengthening him, Lord, his desire is to be active in your kingdom. So, Lord, I thank you, God, for opening door after door after door after door to speak your word. God, I just thank you and I praise you, Lord God. And in doing that, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you will bless him and bless him, God. Lord, I thank you, God, Lord, that you will strengthen his body, Father. And even in these days, Father, even in these days, in this season, Lord, I thank you, God, Lord, that there's joy that springs up beyond what he had even experienced at times in the past. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for this people here. Thank you, Lord, that you would go with them. Give your angels charge over each one of us.